To welcome those of you who have joined us Wednesday night midweek Bible study. I hope you've joined to worship with us in spirit and in truth. Tonight I want us to look at a focus of seeing our way clearly. Many times when we can't see clear enough and we get nervous, and I'm talking about our life. You know, we're thinking, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? Well, we can't see it ahead of us. Even the Lord says that we can only view now from salvation to heaven through a window dimly. But one day, well, we can't see clearly. I'm going to show you a miracle that Jesus performed here, and I want you to see how he did it to give us a lesson about looking clearly at life itself. Matthew 6, 22-23, the eye is the lamp of the body. When I was down there this evening with this gentleman, that's what I do. I watch the eyes. I read the character of the face, the movements, and all of this as to what. The eyes, let me tell you, folks, are windows to the heart, windows to the soul. They're windows to everything that exists with actions and all. You can see it in their eyes. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Here's an embarrassing misunderstanding by the disciples again. New Testament's loaded with them. These guys showed us in their actions how we are. This is us. Mark 8, 13 through 21. Then Jesus got into the boat and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf. They had it in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. The disciples discussed why Jesus had said this, and they decided it was because they hadn't brought bread with them. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, "Why are you talking about having no bread?" I mean, that whole focus that he was trying to teach them went right over their head. They thought about their stomach, and they think Jesus is fussing on them. Do you still not understand, folks? He's talking to his disciples. He's getting ready to go to the cross here. Do you still not see or understand? Are your minds closed? You have eyes, but you don't really see. You have ears, but you don't really listen. Remember when I divided the five loaves of bread for the 5,000? How many baskets did you fill with leftover pieces of food? They said 12. And when I divided 7 loaves of bread for the 4,000, how many baskets did you fill with leftover pieces of food? They said 7. They had a track of the food. You get that? Then Jesus said, "And you still don't understand yet?" Jesus is saying, look at me. When I am teaching you, when I am sharing with you, has it ever been any problem for me to make bread come from heaven? Has it ever been any problem for my Father to tell Moses to strike a rock and the water will come from the rock? You are looking too much. It's what Jesus' problem was with him. You are focusing way too much on the human desires than on what is spiritual. Jesus came to teach us about the world in which we are going and in where we came from. Now, let me say it this way before somebody takes that wrong. When the mind of God says, God knew us before time began, that's what I'm talking about. Many people, I've said that before, and they think I said something about we were angels that come down, which I didn't. That's not what I'm talking about. Maybe I should have said, did you still not understand? Every miracle has a message in it. Blindness is a metaphor for a closed mind. When he's talking about being blind, can't you picture them saying, oh, you, Peter, something wrong with your eyesight? The Lord's talking about being blind. See, they could not focus on what spirituality Christ was trying to give them of his amazing grace. Here's a progressive miracle. I want you to see it because it's what I was talking about a while ago. Mark 8:22. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand, and led him outside the village. Notice something. Many times Jesus performed miracles, he would see who was around. See, those who would curse God would not get to witness a miracle of God. And Jesus would never stay around negative, even believers. Except, remember in the Revelation, you either be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. And so anyway, he takes him outside the village. Listen to this, because this is the progressive part. Three conditions for a miracle to happen are these. When somebody cares, now this is how we see biblically it is working. When somebody cares, some people brought a blind man who cared about him and knew about Jesus. Number two is when we get close to Jesus. They knew who to get close to. Not the Pharisees, not the teachers of the temple, not any of them. No, go to Jesus. Well, what temple will I find him in? And a ditch of life right over there outside of Bethsaida. You mean I got to go to a ditch? I don't know. Do you want to dip in the muddy Jordan and be healed? And you want to get in the ditch of life? Or you said, can you find the healing? I'm telling you where Jesus is. That was one of my add-ons there. People be texting wanting to know what verse that was. Mark 8:23-26. Then Jesus, look at it, spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him. And now think of this. You got to remember the Hebrew. You have to remember the Jewish hierarchy and how the great leaders would act, and to spit on someone was the worst form of disrespect. And so what do we see Jesus doing? Taking what they would consider disrespect, and he spit on the man's eyes. Can't you see the proper Jews over there looking at each other? Then, really? Is this what? Now, listen. He spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him and then asked, now listen, do you see anything? Now see, all of this is being done, folks, for those around him to hear. See, Jesus could have just pointed and he's healed. These were always lessons. The man looked up and said, I see people, but they look like trees walking around. Meaning he didn't have his full eyesight. You got it? So Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes a second time. Then his eyes were opened fully. His sight was restored completely, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, don't go back into town. Now, during this period of time, you got to remember, we're getting at the latter part of Jesus' ministry. And remember that during this period of time, they were looking for a reason to kill those who were believing or following Jesus. Don't go back in the town. Think of that. Don't go back in town around the religious people.
They'll kill you.
Yes. Yes. They will kill you. What keeps us from seeing life clearly? This is the point. That was a progressive miracle. You see it? It's given to us as a purpose. What keeps us from seeing life clearly is our pride. Let's go back to that scripture again. I've got it here for you. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees. That's what he was talking to the disciples about. Be careful of their pride. Well, they're so swelled up with pride, just like they've been eating solid yeast. And what they are doing is bloating themselves and making themselves look above God's word about how great they are. It's their pride. Second is our short-term thinking. The disciples discussed why Jesus had said this, and they decided it was because they hadn't brought bread with them. And you remember, Jesus is getting ready to turn the whole ministry over to these guys. You know, he's leaving. Can't you picture the prayers that Jesus said we don't even have? He was praying, Father, they don't have any idea what they're doing either. Just like the ones that were getting ready to put him on the cross. They were short-term thinking. They didn't remember. They saw the miracles, and they were amazing. And then all of a sudden, when Jesus gets to a spot where they can then tell about, Jesus is talking about the feast of the yeast of the Pharisees. Don't you remember that he gave us bread? None of them even brought it up that that's not what he was talking about. How many times do you hear scripture misquoted? You hear me and Randy talking about that all the time with these guys that do the background research and looking at them, and I want to go over there and talk to some of them. They're kids from these seminaries, and I said, Randy, that doesn't have a thing to do with what the Lord's talking about. But, here's a big thing that's going on now, and this is why that we're getting all of that kind of stuff out today, is that, well, I want to think now on the scripture, and I've grown to bring it into the modern day era of what people can really accept. Well, people could not accept Jesus. They rejected Jesus, the ultimate love. You are never going to win people to Christ by toning down, backing off from the truth. Jesus is the one that says, speak the truth and truth shall set you free. It's the truth. We're going to hurt too many feelings with that. One of my people never think about the feelings of God. He has them, you know. Our short-term memory. Here's this one. Yeah, and I added in there, remember the two miracles he was talking about? Proverbs 29:18. Without a vision, the people perish. I'm a Christian. I can see in my vision, in my mind, even the times that over life, the word Christ has intervened now. But I can certainly see when he saved me. I can certainly know the many times. It's the vision of the miracles that within my own life. We cannot absorb or accept the miracles of someone else's life if we do not believe the miracles of our own. Without the vision, the people perish. Ephesians 1:18. I pray, listen to Paul, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Gosh, now you would have people saying, see, I can tell you that's false because hearts don't have eyes. The shallow-mindedness, the shallow thinking, and that's because they will read the scripture based on the story, not based on the spirit. They'll read the scripture and say, yeah, it was a great bunch of story. Bloody, though, wasn't it? But I didn't get anything out of it. Remember the story I told you about the guy that said, I've read the Bible through, I think it was 6 times, and didn't get a thing out of it? And said, well, why don't you read the Bible, let the Holy Spirit read it to you, and you'll get everything out of it. And that's the problem. Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. He's talking to the church again. Every one of these sermons go to the people that are supposed to be the church, supposed to be the body of Christ, and says, you may know the hope to which he has called you. They forget that the hope is in who Jesus is. And then we get so down on ourselves because, hey, I'm such a failure. Well, shut up whining. You're right. You're a failure, but Jesus isn't. And Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. But I did read that last book first. Number three lessons about seeing life clearly. Number one, your spiritual, I'm going back here now to that where Jesus took it in stages on healing the blind man. Other healings were instant, not this one. Your spiritual vision grows in stages. Let me give you sort of an insight as to maybe why it does that. You and I could not handle it. You could not handle, I cannot handle, the true total vision of who God is and how he's working in my life. Because I'm a human being. So therefore, gradually, in stages, we will grow. So don't get so discouraged because, I've been a Christian 6 months and I'm hurting, man. Well, if you've been a Christian 60 years, you're really going to be hurting because you still don't understand. But the hope is in who Jesus is, not in what we do or who we are. Number two, the test of your vision is how you see other people. But now I will say that is a gift from God. That is one of the many different gifts that God will give. When you look at a person that is down and out and you look at that individual as what they could become and that they are there, they're alone and they're hurting and you look at them with love. And I know I've told you all when I was at Reformatory as chaplain studying in those years in Central State, because my heart was broken. I started to cry, and I was on the second floor at the Reformatory in our office. The inmate had just left, and the chaplain, then chief of chaplain, said, Larry, what's wrong? And I told him what the inmate had just told me and how vile this inmate was. And he said, I know how vile and vicious he is, Larry. I said, that's not what I'm talking about, Jim. After I listened to him, I loved him. And I said, that means something's wrong with me. And he said, nah, you don't get it yet. Well, frankly, I still don't get it. But I do know, folks, there is a spark of good in every human being that is there. And good begets good. Love. Now, gosh, I can tell you this, though. Watching now where you love people and they'll kill you because you do. I don't know. I haven't seen this before. But I have read the books, girls, wherein it did take place. Number three, Jesus heals our sight three ways. You ready? Our focus gets sharper. Remember the guy. Our perspective gets larger. Our vision gets clearer. Job 34, verse 32. Now, I put Elihu down there for you because Elihu, this is him speaking. Remember, Elihu was the youngest of Bildad, Zophar, and all the other brilliant ones. If Randy was here, he remembers them for me. Eliphaz, Vildar, and Elihu was the youngest, and here's what he's saying, because he's fussing at Job. And he says, is this what you expect, Job? Teach me what I cannot see. See, he's beligning Job. He's telling Job, you're getting too cocky with God. You're saying, teach me what I cannot see. And if I've done wrong, I won't do it again. He's saying you're blaming your wrongness on God. Job hadn't said a word. But they see him as sitting in the sackcloth and ashes feeling sorry for himself. I truly believe what Job was feeling sorry for was them. Because they were accusing him of sins against God that he knew he hadn't committed. And the poor man sitting there with all the boils, all the sickness, having to listen to him. That had to have been more torturous than the boils. Here's a clarifying question. Mark 8, verses 27 through 29. Then Jesus and his disciples went on to the village around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do you say I am? Now, catch this. Going back, he's trying to teach them by the miracles. You getting it? We're trying to remind them they need to open their spiritual eyes. On their way, he said, who do people say that I am? They replied, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and still others, they say you're one of the other prophets. But what about you? This is Jesus saying. Jesus asked, who do you say I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Messiah. And another old English, you'll see, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus turns to him and said, Peter? Simon Barjona, it was a different name. But Simon Barjona, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Now catch this. Jesus was flesh and blood. You getting what he's saying? But only my Father from heaven. You could not see me as God, Peter, unless my Father opened your eyes. But Peter saw. Peter, the one that cursed and ran and like the rest of them, but why did Jesus ask this question? How you see Jesus determines how clearly you see everything else. And that's the facts of it, folks. For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area, come and see us. 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you. And have a blessed rest of the week.